singing and all that good time of fellowship. If you've got a testimony, anybody got a word of testimony they want to give tonight before we get started?
Well, I do.
All right, here we go. Yeah.
Thank God for saving me and giving me a good family, giving me a good church home.
Amen.
Be a good pastor. I tell you what, everything's good.
Amen.
And God is good. He's been faithful.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I'm not very faithful, but He is.
God's
and
faithful.
I thank God for His grace and His mercy.
Amen. 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 All right, real quick. See, what you're doing is you have to be like a racehorse. You're ready to go. See, and all that right there. And so, all right. We appreciate the good deal. Let me tell you something I've been thankful about. I look out here and see Brother Eddie and Miss Diane.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad they're still with us.
Yes.
You know, had it not been for the grace of God, they could have been burned up.
Yes.
And all that business there. But they were up and around, this and that. Brother Eddie was up trying to start a fire and did. So, and so anyhow, we're just glad. We're glad. I look around and I see all of that, everything going on. You know, I shudder every time the phone rings if it's, and just knowing as many kids we got driving, as many people as we've got. I mean, my word, you just never know. You just never know. As a lot of people went out this week, met their maker. I'm just thankful God has exempted us at least this month or this week from all of that. And my heart goes out to those that had to suffer loss. Good to see you, Miss Courtney. We're glad she's here. She kind of got caught in a weave and so, this morning. And so anyhow, we're glad. Let me tell you right now is I have the highest regards for her. In fact, it's not only that, she herself has a pretty good high regard for herself. I told her one time, being complimentary, you know what, you're the best thing in the world that's ever happened to the Kirkendall family. I agree, she said. I didn't get an argument. I like that. Mama said, if you don't like yourself, nobody else will. Well, Mama's going to like you and me too, because I guarantee you, we both feel about the same way. All right? In the book of Matthew, chapter number 23, if you find the place, it's there. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm amazed. I stand amazed at how fast everything's going. You know, it hadn't been that long ago. Here it is, March the 5th, 2023. Do you realize to know that 23 years ago, in the year 2000, everybody thought the computer was going to crash. People were stockpiling food, stockpiling this. And I mean, what else could you think? And all that right there. I had people, you know, tell me, you buy an extra food? What are you talking about extra food? Back then, I could barely be able to afford to buy part of whatever we needed that week, much less extra. And what are you going to do? I'd come and eat with you now that I know you've got plenty. And all right, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, you find the place you're able to stand. Let's look at that. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Boy, you talk about being appointed preacher. This is Jesus Christ saying this. This is Him preaching. He says, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within. The cup and the platter and the outside then may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because that you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up them the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd move upon within us. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts that'll be receptive, lives that'll be obedient thereunto. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on shoe polish religion. We live in the day of that, no doubt about that, where people, you know, instead of wanting to be clean from their sins and repent toward God by faith, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, be cleansed from sin, they just want to cover up a few little stains with a little shoe polish of religion. We live in a world like that. I got to tell you right now, you can cover up with a little bit of shoe polish, but you're not going to change your nature. You're not going to change your character. It's going to take something working on the inside to be able to change all that. In this Bible lesson, you'll find that religion always has, is tonight, will be tomorrow, working on the outside of somebody somewhere so that they've got the appearance of one that's being cleansed, and yet all they're really doing is trying to cover up a little sin with some kind of a polish. You know, the blood of Christ, he doesn't make us better, but he makes us whole. He doesn't just simply give us a little bit of a remedy and try to, you know, go through some kind of a ritual. Is that he takes away our sin. He didn't come to save us in sin, but from sin. And whenever he does, let me tell you, he died on the cross to put away our sins. Let me tell you what he does is he cleanses us, number one, from within. And then you'll find you can tell it on the outside. Now, you know, if you just cover up with a little something, the outside looks better, but the inside's still rotten. The inside's still headed to hell. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, I'm glad that he cleanses from within. Did you know that the Bible said, for with the heart man, that's the innermost being of you, that in the vessel that we've got pumping, but the innermost being of ourselves, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know what's wrong with so many Baptists that are lost and going to hell? And let me tell you, I believe the hottest part of hell is going to be for Baptists that are lost without God, religious but lost without God. Do you know the reason why that it's like that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because rather than to come that blood-bought way, they just want to come whatever easy task that they can perform and be able to get credit and pat themselves on the back with that. Let me tell you, when I came to him as an empty-handed beggar, I did just like you that are saved here tonight. I brought nothing and had nothing to bargain with when I got washed by the blood and born into the family of God. You know, the Bible says, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 28 of Proverbs, it's in about verse number 13, he talked about that he that tries to cover his sin will not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Now, you know, I remember there was a lot of time while you turned to Psalm 32. I remember there was a time or two whenever God was knocking on my heart, and I didn't want to, you know, if I can't have part in it, I mean, surely there's something I ought to be able to do. And let me tell you, all he wants you to do is come as an empty-handed beggar and recognize who he is and confess who you are. And he'll take care of the rest. But in the book of Psalm, chapter number 32, at about verse number 3, down through 5. Now I want you to watch that in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. You know what it is? Sin, buddy, will eat you up on the inside. You've got a few little trinkets you're performing outside. If you've not been honest with God and sin's on the inside of you, and all you've got a little outward appearance of polish, I'll tell you what it'll do is it'll go to eating on you and eating at you. Look in verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. You know what? Sin's a heavy thing. He said, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Salah. And where sin will dry you up. In verse 5, he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Salah. I'll tell you what, if you'll acknowledge who you are, acknowledge you're a sinner, acknowledge your need for Christ, I guarantee what he'll do is he'll give you forgiveness, and he'll give you grace, and he'll give you mercy, and he'll take the load of sin and the guilt of sin away from you. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at over there in 1 John, don't turn there, but in chapter number 1, verse number 8 through 10, he said, now, if we say we've not sinned, then we lie and the truth's not in us. But then he goes on and said, but if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll tell you what cleansing is, friend. It's the removal of our sin to where the stain can't be seen any longer. in this Bible, that's in the Bible, said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it doesn't matter how good you and I look on the outside, God's looking at it on the inside, and what the inside is, that's where it counts. That's what he's preaching to this religious but lost crowd in Matthew 23 that we've read. You remember over here in Isaiah, we quote it every now and again, chapter number 1, verse 18 and 19, whenever he talked about your sin being as scarlet or red like crimson, they'll be white as snow. You know what that is? No stain in it, friend. It'll be white like wool. You know what that is? That means no shoe polish, buddy. It's the real deal, been cleansed. And the Bible said that if you've had that, he that's willing and obedient, that's what it does for you. It makes you willing to want to walk with him. It makes you obedient to the words of God. Now, in the lesson that we've read tonight, Jesus Christ was preaching to a crowd, and boy, let me tell you, you talk about a bunch of hellions, but they were. And let me say to you that he began to get on them, and the first thing that he said, you know what's the matter with you Pharisees and you hypocrites and you scribes? You're too worried about the outside impressing somebody when the inside, you're trying to look like you're going to heaven when the inside in reality you're headed straight to hell. In fact is, whenever you begin to look into it, he begins to tell them that that cleansing, real cleansing begins within. It's not like one of these whited sepulchers that you've got out here and you got it painted up and it looks good on the outside, but on the inside it's full of dead men's bones and all kind of corruption. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, I don't want just to appear to be righteous, I want to be righteous. And the Bible said that whenever he makes you and I righteous by the blood of the Lamb, in the lesson here that you're looking at, here's the kind of people that he's preaching to, preacher killers. I can tell you right now is like, for instance, you wouldn't think, the only way I'm bigger than I've ever been in my life. Well, except a pound or two here or there. I used to be a little bit more. I've had to tighten up my belt, but I hadn't lost a whole lot of weight. And what I'm just saying to you, I'm about 190. And as a result of that, and all that business there, do you know how many people that I could feed? In 45 years, you know how many times that I have been somebody's dinner at their house after church. And I still got about 190 pounds left. I tell you what you do, if you really and truly, and I mean this in all seriousness, and hey, I'm an easy target if you want to take a shot at me, but I'll tell you what, if you want to raise a family fit for nothing but hell, be a preacher fighter. Be a preacher killer, friend. You see what I'm talking about? There's some preachers across the country this morning that got up, and tonight, even tonight, and they got up in dread to go down there, and they're just on pins and needles trying somehow or another to make everybody happy. You're not ever going to make everybody happy if you're going to please Christ. You're going to have to just simply know, I'm not trying to take a cheap shot at you. You know, most of the time, whenever you're thinking, hey, he's getting that on me, I was really thinking about somebody else. Most of the time I get an illustration, I think about somebody over in Louisiana. And you go to thinking, is the preacher talking about me? Well, I didn't know I was. I didn't know that I was. Do you understand? But you know the reason why it's that way, don't you? Because people are people, flesh and blood, wherever that you go. See? In this lesson here that you're looking at, is that these are fellows that are there. Son, they had that bloodthirsty craving for another prophet or another wise man, and the Lord knew all of that. Notice in verse number 3 what he called them there in 33. You serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, do you realize and know that he's trying to awaken them? Because look in verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now, isn't that amazing? Even in the midst of the condition they were in, that God gave them prophets and wise men and scribes and people that were true to the word of the Lord. Now, you can read the rest of it later on. But in the last two verses of this chapter, the last three, whenever he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered their chickens under her wings," and watch it, "and ye would not." It's not a matter they couldn't have been saved and they didn't want it. It's not a matter they could have got their cleansing from within and working without. They didn't want it. See? And as a result of that, you're going to find out, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." I'll tell you, what a sad shape that Israel as a nation is. I know she'll be born again one of these days. A nation will be born in one day. But until then, look at the sadness. Look at the children that have grown up in an unbelieving Jew's house that's died and went straight to hell without hope and without God. You see? And you talk about all to make people sit up and pay attention. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ preaching. This is not somebody that he sent. They killed some of them. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he ends up by saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you?" But the problem is not on the end where the Lord Jesus is. The problem is you would not. You would not. You would not come unto me that you might have life. Where was that over there? In John chapter number 5, whenever he talked to that crowd and said, "Search the scriptures, for in them said you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me, but you'll not come to me that you might have life." Remember that? I got to say to you that, if you will, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be able to know that he loves me more than I could ever imagine. I'll tell you how much he loves you and I. He gave his only begotten son on a cross of Calvary, that bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and was buried in the tomb. And 3 days later, opened up the grave, came out on his own, and resurrected victoriously and gloriously from the grave, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. And if you don't do anything all week long, you ought to try to do this. Go to bed talking to the Lord, and wake up before you get up and talk to the Lord. You hadn't got to say a whole lot, but just thank God for how good God's been in the saving of your soul. I'll tell you right now, there's been a lot of water went under the bridge since the day I first got saved. I've seen a lot of people rise and fall. I've seen a lot of people born and died. I've seen a lot of people come and go. I'm going to tell you, but our Lord and Savior is ever the same. He has ever been the same. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you for the good singing that we've had, for the good testimonies that we've had, for the good spirit that we've been able to enjoy this day. Now, I pray you'd hide the word in our heart, that we sin not against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. In Jesus' name we pray.